So we have the great fortune of having His Grace Shesha Prabhu here today. Shesha Prabhu is a disciple of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So he joined the ISKCON movement in the year 1973, almost 40 years back. So Shesha Prabhu in the past has done many services for Srila Prabhupada, including being the managing editor of the Back to Godhead magazine. He's been a trustee of the North American BBT. Presently, he's the GBC for the Florida zone in the United States. He's also the Minister for Education Development within ISKCON. He writes regularly for ISKCONnews.org about applying Krishna consciousness principles of Krishna consciousness in the modern world. A very wonderful speaker, so we're very fortunate to have his association with us here today. So let us express his gratitude for coming here and giving us his association by loudly chanting.
So when they gave the introduction of me a few minutes ago, they were saying how fortunate they are that I'm here, but I see it a little differently. I see that I'm very fortunate to be here at the world-famous ISKCON Chaupati. Actually, you're known, all of you, throughout the world for your Vaishnava hospitality, for your exemplary devotee relationships, and for your preaching spirit. What would be ISKCON without the preaching spirit of Srila Prabhupada? So these things you're known for, and for me, who am a traveler, it's very welcoming to come into such an atmosphere as this. Actually, with the modern day travel, I traveled about 10,000 miles to come here over the last 2 days. But it becomes a little deceptive. You know, you can travel 10,000 miles in 2 days, so you think, well, it's not such a big thing. If you have to travel 10,000 miles walking, and then you get to a place and they're so accommodating when you get there, then you feel, oh, that's very nice. But same thing, even though it takes a short time now with modern technology, 12 hours from New York, 13 hours from New York to Mumbai. But still, the desire of the traveler to be so nicely welcomed and accommodated, that's still there, just as if you had walked 10,000 miles. And it's a very satisfying to come here and to be with all of you, to receive your hospitality. So I think that I'm the one that's fortunate. Actually, this is so important, this ability to greet and make comfortable the traveler, not only the traveler, but all living beings. It's so important. At the Alachua Temple in Florida, where I live, we're also studying the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is your studying here. We're a few chapters ahead. And there's some very interesting instruction there in that section of Srimad Bhagavatam on these subject matters. There is described Parasaram, the Lord's warrior incarnation. You may know the history that Parasaram, he killed one Kartavirya Arjuna. That person wasn't a very nice person, Kartavirya Arjun, Kshatriya. Actually, he was a troublesome character. He actually killed Parashuram's father, Jamadagni. And later there was some further intrigue there in Parashuram's family. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point in one purport. He's describing how Jamadagni, Parashuram's father, had his wife, Renuka, killed just for some slight offense. And we know Parasaram, he killed Kartavirya Arjuna. And so in a purport there, Srila Prabhupada says that no matter who you may be, whether you be Jamadagni, great sage, Renuka, wife of a great sage, or Lord Parasaram himself, we need to be very careful what we do. We have to act very cautiously and sagaciously, Prabhupada says. Cautiously and sagaciously. Because everyone can become affected by sinful reactions to their behavior. He's speaking about incarnation of the Lord, Parasaram. And he killed this Kartavirya Arjuna, who wasn't a saintly person. He was kind of a rascal, this Kartavirya Arjuna. So Lord Parasaram killed him. But Prabhupada includes his name also. We have to be very cautious and sagacious about our relationships, our interactions with others. And so when I offer some words of appreciation for all of you here, I do it in this spirit, just having studied that and now experiencing myself the Vaishnava behavior that you're so famous for. I can see how important it is. It's not a trivial thing. How we treat the Vaishnavas, how we treat all living beings, we must do so very cautiously and sagaciously, because otherwise we can become overcome by sinful reactions to our activities. I was asked to speak on something about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as we are nearing Gaur Purnima time. And so we'll talk a little bit about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are somewhat mysterious. We know that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yayatam mam papadyante tam sitaiva bhajamiyaham mama vart manu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. He says that all men follow my path in all respects. Krishna is always engaged in reciprocation, not only with his devotees, but with all living beings. That's the truth of this verse that Krishna speaks from Bhagavad Gita. Actually, all living beings are simply reciprocating with Krishna. Of course, most don't know that they're reciprocating with Krishna. Prakrite guna kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartam vittimanyate. They think that they're doing all of their works. They're the cause of the fruits of their activities. But this is ignorance. Everything is being supplied by the Lord as we surrender to Him. And we can know Him as we surrender to Him. This is the tattva, Krishna, between Krishna and the jiva. But in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there's something a little special about them, a little odd about them in terms of this truth of that Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. So we want to explore that a little bit to try to understand what is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And particularly this time of year, it's good to meditate on this. Just last week, we had the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. And this coming week, this week, we have the appearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, all leading up to the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a few weeks from now. So what is it that's special about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes? What is it that offers all of us the chance that maybe other incarnations of the Lord don't offer? That is what we want to talk a little bit about today. And we'll start by reading a verse in purport from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the 17th chapter of the Adi Lila. Here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is offering his obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and describing to us a little bit about that mercy. How can it be perceived? So he says, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even unclean yavanas become perfectly well-bred gentlemen by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Such is the power of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Srila Prabhupada's purport. There is a persistent misunderstanding between caste brahmanas and advanced Vaishnavas or Goswamis. Because caste brahmanas or smartas are of the opinion that one cannot become a brahmana unless he changes his body. As we have discussed several times, it is to be understood that by the supremely powerful potency of the Lord, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, everything is possible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as fully independent as Krishna. Therefore, no one can interfere with his activities. If he wants, by his mercy, he can convert even a yavana, an unclean follower of non-Vedic principles, into a perfectly well-behaved gentleman. This is actually happening in our propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of the present Krishna consciousness movement were not born in India, nor do they belong to the Vedic culture. But within the very short time of 4 or 5 years, they have become such wonderful devotees simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra that even in India, they are well received as perfectly well-behaved Vaishnavas wherever they go. Although less intelligent men cannot understand it, This is the special power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, the body of a Krishna conscious person changes in many ways. Even in the United States, when our devotees chant on the street, American ladies and gentlemen inquire from them whether they are actually Americans, because no one could expect Americans to become such nice devotees all of a sudden. Even Christian priests are greatly surprised that all these boys from Jewish and Christian families have joined this Krishna consciousness movement. Before joining, they never regarded any principles of religion seriously, but now they have become sincere devotees of the Lord. Everywhere, people express this astonishment, and we take great pride in the transcendental behavior of our students. Such wonders are possible, however, only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not ordinary or mundane. They are not ordinary or mundane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement can be perceived by all of us. Prabhupada is giving here in this purport a very important way in which it can be perceived, and that is the behavior of his devotees. When I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, I had a dream. And in that dream, I was brought before Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was chastising me, actually. And that's his mercy, we all know, when we get chastised by the Guru. Prabhupada was chastising me. And he said to me something I didn't understand. He said to me, "You are very ostentatious." And I thought, what does that mean? I didn't even know what the word meant. I had to, when I woke up, I had to go to a dictionary and look up the word. What does ostentatious mean? Does anybody know what it means? Ostentatious? It means very showy, you know, kind of proud, you know. Boastful, very good, boastful. He said like that to me, "Oh, you are very ostentatious." And because it was in a chastising mood, I understood that that's a fault that I have, and that by his mercy, I need to work to overcome that. Because a boastful person will never be able to interact with others in such a way that he gains the respect. People are always very anxious to find the faults of the devotees. People are always very anxious to find the faults of the devotees. And actually, Srila Prabhupada describes that for a sannyasi especially, just like if there's a cloth hung across here, if there's one little black spot on that cloth, everyone will notice it. Everyone will notice it. And so for devotees, they have to be spotless in character. They have to be spotless in character. But how is that possible? How is it possible that the devotees can be spotless in character? We're hearing a very nice lecture this morning. What was the name of the Prabhu was giving class? Madhavananda Prabhu. Very nice class he was giving. He was speaking about these points about pride. Pride is one of the big spots. It's not a small spot on that cloth hanging there. It's a big spot. So it's easily noticeable. And so someone who's proud, it's very, very hard for them to become Krishna conscious. Very hard for them to become Krishna conscious. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even such a proud person can become Krishna conscious and can dance in ecstasy. This was shown by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in his interaction with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Now, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is not a flamingly proud person. He's a scholar, obviously. The greatest scholar in India of the time. But when he observed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought, well, this is a young sannyasi. Sannyasa is a difficult life. Therefore, better he has a good foundation in philosophy, so I'll instruct him. I'll be merciful to the all-merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he spoke to him for 7 days, explaining so many points of philosophy. And at the end of 7 days, he was a little puzzled. He said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, I've been instructing you for 7 days and you haven't said a single word or asked a single question. Do you understand what is being discussed here? Can you comprehend it? Is it over your head? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied very humbly, no, I understand the philosophy quite well. It's just that your explanation seems to be obscuring them. I can't understand why you're explaining in the way you are. Now, when he said this to him, can you imagine? You're the topmost scholar of the Vedas in all of India. And someone says to you that your explanations are just making the truth difficult to understand. This is like a thunderbolt crashing on his head. How can you say that? How can you say that to me? He was thunderstruck. But then to, as we say in America, add insult to injury, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him and just left him with his mouth open, trying to understand what the Lord was saying. So his pride was broken. His pride was broken. So much so that once he accepted that fact, because our pride can be broken, but we don't accept it. We try to resist it. We try to find some reasons why we shouldn't accept what has been given to us in terms of that cracking of the layer of our heart. So, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he was able to pass through that stage and he was able to accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit him early in the morning with some Sri Jagannath Prasad, that he gave to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya immediately took that prasad. And the thing that's so interesting about this is that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, as a Pakka Brahmin, he followed all the rules and regulations for brahminical life. Therefore, one who's following those principles never takes the prasad before he gets up from bed, takes his bath, washes his mouth, everything like that. It's unheard of. You don't do that. That's behavior of the yavanas. But he understood he had received the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And when that mercy comes, one should take it without hesitation at any time or any place. It doesn't break any of the principles of brahminical life. And so, because his pride was smashed, because he accepted that, he was able to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is required. This is required to change our behavior, not externally. Not externally. There's an example that Srila Prabhupada gave, an example from Srila Prabhupada's life, where he instructed the difference between sort of superficially changing and actually having the deep change of heart. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to a woman named Lind Ludwig, an ordinary American woman, middle-aged housewife woman. This woman had been going to the store at a shopping center, and she had run into some devotees who were doing Sankirtan, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And apparently they had some conversation with this lady, and she was disturbed by that conversation, so she thought, well, I'm going to write your spiritual master a letter. And so she wrote a letter complaining. She said that, actually, these devotees have a very negative attitude about life and about their interactions with others. So she was complaining, the worst possible thing for those devotees to bring some disrespect to the spiritual master. She was basically saying, what are you teaching these boys that they're acting like this? This is not good. And so Srila Prabhupada himself displaying the behavior of a true Vaishnava, he took the time from his busy schedule. As you all know, he was traveling the world constantly, meeting very famous and influential people, initiating disciples all over the world. What did he care that some one woman had written him a letter complaining about one interaction with two of his disciples someplace? No, he didn't take that attitude. He took the attitude that led him to sit down and write a 4-page letter to this woman in response. He wrote her 4 full pages there. And he explained that in the beginning, to protect the tender devotional creeper within one's heart, one may, and apparently these young disciples did, take an attitude that's negative towards material life, negative towards even relationships that we have in material life. But that is something that's done only in the beginning stage of one's devotional service. Again, to protect that tender creeper within the heart. But a more mature devotee doesn't take that kind of attitude. Actually, a more mature devotee takes the attitude that all living beings are serving Krishna, and those that don't know that they're serving Krishna, it's my job to awaken them. Awaken them in such a way that they can accept, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was able to accept the mercy of the Lord. And so there's a difference between interactions with others which are done in the neophyte stage, which may appear to be negative or pushing away. There's a difference between that and a more mature devotee who's actually able to embrace everyone. Just like the Goswamis. It's described that the Goswamis, they were dhira dhira. They were the friend of both the gentle persons and the ruffians. Actually, Sanatan Goswami, he was very loved by all the bridge bosses. Very loved by all the bridge bosses. And so when he would go from village to village throughout Braj, they were always so happy when he came to see them. And they would sit him down, and when they talked with him, they weren't talking about Radha and Krishna Leela exclusively. They were talking so many things in the family. Oh, this has happened and that happened. My crops aren't so good this year. My daughter needs to get married. There's so many things they were discussing. They just loved him so much. Even to this day, you see that Sanatan Goswami has this special place in the heart of all the Brijavasis. Because he could relate to them. Krishna consciousness did not separate him from them, but it bonded him to them. So Prabhupada made that distinction in a letter to this lady, Lynn Ludwig, and he finished it with a very inspiring statement. And it's an inspiring statement for all of us. Because Prabhupada said that, please forgive these young devotees for acting in ways in which you found not appropriate. But know that they have given their life to Krishna, and that is never a mistake. To give one's life to Krishna is never a mistake. But of course, we make so many mistakes. And so we have to overcome them. We overcome them by becoming mature in Krishna consciousness. And for this, we must depend upon the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is very mysterious. It's mysterious in different ways, right from the very beginning. Sri Advaita Acharya, he prayed for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. And when he was thinking of the need for the Lord's appearance, a verse appeared in his mind. And that verse described how the Lord is purchased by anyone who offers him a tulsi leaf and a little Ganges water. He becomes purchased by that. Now that's a little curious, isn't it? It's not really yayatam mam papajyante tam satavi pajami aham, that as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. You purchase the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead for a little tulsi leaf and water. How is that reciprocal? It's a tremendous amount of mercy on one side. The Lord is giving himself. And all you're giving is a little tulsi leaf and water. And so, making that offering, Sri Advaita Acharya called the Lord to this world. And so the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in him being called by Advaita Acharya, was already showing the great mercy, the overwhelming mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give. Of course, that mercy was recognized by Srila Rupa Goswami. And therefore, we have the famous verse that he spoke upon receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadandaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tivise Namaha. He recognized, here's the most munificent incarnation of the Lord. because he's come to give something that's never been given before. He's come to give Krishna Prema, to give everyone the opportunity to attain the eternal abode of the Lord, Sri Goloka Vrindavan, to attain one's eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. And when did he choose to come and do this? In Kali Yuga. Who's qualified in Kali Yuga to receive such mercy as that? In Kali Yuga, it's an ocean of faults. No one is deserving of that mercy. Prabhupada refers in this purport we read to here today to a persistent misunderstanding between caste brahmanas and advanced Vaishnavas. Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone is born a Sudra. Yet, persons feel themselves to be superior to others, superior to the Vaishnavas, simply because of birth in a so-called Brahmin family. But where are the qualities of a Brahmana? In Kali Yuga, it's very hard to see these qualities. What we see instead is pride. What we see instead is pride. So in that time period, Kali Yuga, that is the time period when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give what he's never given before. The highest thing. There's nothing higher that the Lord can give. This is the special nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's giving Krishna prema. He's giving love for himself. And what does love for Krishna do? It completely purchases him. He becomes completely obliged to that person who has love for him. And so naturally, that's not going to be given away cheaply. But in essence, it is being given away cheaply in Kali Yuga through the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He broke open the storehouse of love of Godhead and he's plundering it, and he's encouraging others to help him, assist him in distributing this mercy to others. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the mercy that he came to give. And who are those that are helping him? Who are those that are helping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distribute this mercy to others? Well, we have Rupan Sanatan Goswami. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, although born in devotee families, high caste Hindus, they took up employment of the Muslim government in Bengal, and therefore they lost all those qualifications. They separated themselves from the Hindu society by taking this employment, which in the eyes of the Hindus had degraded them. Yet, those were the two main generals of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He chose them to assist him in plundering this storehouse of love of God to distribute its contents to everyone. And he chose Srila Haridas Thakur, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He was born in a Muslim family. Well, to speak of losing your caste among the Hindus, but born in a Muslim family. So many things we hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Haridas Thakur and how it comes up time and time again where people bring up his birth and attempt to disqualify him in many ways. But Advaita Acharya, who had called the Lord, he understood. Therefore, although Advaita Acharya was born in a high-class Brahmin family, when he was doing the Shraddha ceremony, he offered the first prasad to Haridas Thakur. Now consider what a statement that is. Consider what a statement that is, that Advaita Acharya was a leader of the Brahminical community, yet he chose to offer a Muslim the first prasad from the Shraddha ceremony. You can imagine the Brahmins just shaking in disbelief when such a thing happened. But because Haridas Thakur was a Vaishnava, because Haridas Thakur manifests the qualities and behavior of a Vaishnava, therefore, he was the most appropriate person. Even though it's a little strange, still he was the most appropriate person to receive that prasad and receive that honor by Sri Advaita Acharya. Because of his Vaishnava behavior. That's why I said at the beginning, it's so important. It's so important. It makes all the difference in the world how the Vaishnava behaves. Indeed, Srila Haridas Thakur was glorified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself because of two things, achar and prachar. Because you behave nicely, because you observe Vaishnava etiquette, because you act on Vaishnava principles, and therefore you are qualified to preach the Vaishnava cult. So, birth doesn't matter, background doesn't matter, but if we accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then our behavior changes. Then we are qualified to not only receive this great mercy, but to give it to others. It's so important being able to act the part of a Vaishnava. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport here that he says, everyone expresses this astonishment, and we take great pride in the transcendental behavior of our students. Prabhupada is giving us a charge here. He's saying, no, you have the responsibility to act in this way. You have this responsibility to bring credit to your spiritual master, not discredit. It's so important. It's so important that Prabhupada can say that he takes pride in the transcendental behavior of his devotees. And so that behavior starts with how we interact with each other, how we interact with amongst the devotees. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we get the association of devotees, we come together, And we have that protection where we can get proper training. That's another one of the exemplary things that you do here, not only with the brahmachari training, but with the counselor system. These things are so important because they give us a grounding in Krishna consciousness, which helps us advance and which helps us to be prepared to give Krishna consciousness to others. This type of training. So we start like that in our journey in Krishna consciousness. And how we relate with the devotees becomes so important. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, for the devotees, gave this Sri Upadesha Amrita, or the nectar of instruction. Of all the instructions that can be given, he's condensed them into these, I think there are 12 or 13 shlokas there. How many? 11. Okay. 11 instructions, which are the most important thing. And there among those instructions we find this verse about how one should interact with other devotees, how one should have loving exchanges with other devotees. If we can master that verse, the Dati Patagri Nanti Guyam Akyati Prichati Punkte Bhajate Chaiva Sad Prim Priti Lakshanam. Thank you. Giving gifts, receiving gifts, giving prasad, taking prasad, revealing one's mind, hearing others reveal their mind. These six types of loving exchanges amongst devotees are so important. They're so important. Especially this revealing one's mind and hearing others reveal their minds in confidence. Prabhupada, in the purport there, he explains how sometimes a businessman will have some business proposal and they'll invite their business partner to some setting where they have a meal together and they exchange ideas like this. And in that way, they advance their business interests. Well, our interest is not business, but our interest is in advancing in spiritual life, but the same principles are there. Meeting with one another, giving prasad, giving gifts, receiving gifts, and revealing one's mind in confidence. This is essential to our advancement in Krishna consciousness, because when we hold our thoughts in our mind, we're not willing to share them with others, those thoughts become our enemies. They become our enemies and they get us alone and they take us away from Krishna consciousness. They take us away from Krishna consciousness. But if we have a friend, if we have a friend where we can discuss our challenges, our difficulties in executing devotional service, then we get some relief, we get some help in fighting maya, fighting the mind. And so that's essential, having friendships in Krishna consciousness. And they should be the type of friendships which are heartfelt, surit. There are different types of friendships described in the Vedic literatures. Bandhu, Mitra, and Suhrit. But we want this Suhrit, which means a good heart, a heart-to-heart friendship. When we can have that, then our path in Krishna consciousness is secure. Actually, there are some devotees that make everyone feel like there that they are your best friend. I don't know exactly how it works, but I think that His Holiness Radhanath Swami is one of those persons, quite honestly. He makes everyone feel like, this person is my best friend. Probably for someone as large-hearted as His Holiness Radhanath Swami, everyone is his best friend. It's not some kind of device or pretense, but that's just how we can relate to his heart. How we can relate to Krishna's heart can be seen by that example. Krishna is actually our dearmost friend. And that relationship is just waiting there to blossom and develop. The mercy is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand it, to work on developing it. And if we come to the perfectional stage, we can realize that. We can realize that relation. We can experience it in our daily lives. The mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meant to be realized and perceived like this. It's not something that's just theoretical, or as Prabhupada says here at the end of this purport, mundane or ordinary. The transcendental nature of love of God can actually be perceived by all of us in all of our activities every day of our lives. That's what it means to become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious. That's what it means to fully accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to be able to perceive it in our interactions with others, to be able to perceive it within our own heart, to be able to taste it in the kirtan of the Lord, to be able to feel the satisfaction of service to Guru and Krishna. All of these things become alive and very tangible parts of our life. That is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not something that we have to wait for till we go back home, back to Godhead, or wait till the end of life to achieve. We can experience it here and now. But we have to be willing to give up our bad habits, to accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give up our pride, to become humble, develop a service attitude towards the devotees of the Lord. If we do this, then we can and we will be full participants in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we move toward the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya in a few weeks, we should meditate like this and try to study the pastimes of the Lord and try to look for these things. So much mercy is given that's beyond what is put in. One last example in this regard. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would often go in the Nagar Sankirtan in the Navadvip area. And one time they were going on procession, and one a cobbler, was there on the side of the street. And all of a sudden, he started dancing in ecstasy and saying, "I have seen, I have seen, I have seen." And he joined the kirtan party. What qualification did he have? He had no qualification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the mercy, and he could understand that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goal of life is to develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that can be done through the chanting and dancing of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if it's available to the Muchi, it's available to all of us also. So I would encourage you to try to take this mercy, to understand it, and to give it to others. Hare Krishna. So are there any comments or questions that anyone has about these subject matters? Okay, no questions? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for a wonderful class. Would you please enlighten us about your interactions with Srila Prabhupada?
My interactions with Srila Prabhupada? Well, I can't say that I had a lot of personal interactions with Srila Prabhupada, personal presence. By the time that I joined the Hare Krishna movement, there are many devotees around the world, and my interactions with him took place in those kind of context. Although there were some exchanges I had with him. When I got Brahminical initiation, I was called into the room with Srila Prabhupada, just me and Srila Prabhupada. And he looked at me and he asked me a question. Now, that question is something that I can continue to answer every day of my life. And so, it wasn't, and I don't look on it as being just a one-time occurrence where I was in a room once with Srila Prabhupada and he asked me one question and that was it. He asked me, do you chant 16 rounds every day? So every day when I get up, I have to answer that question because I told him, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I chant 16 rounds every day. So I said that once, and I should say it every day to Srila Prabhupada. And so that was a meaningful exchange I had with him at that time. Also, something a little mystical happened in that meeting also, because somehow or another, when I was outside the room going in, the secretary or the servant or something, he told me, well, put the Brahman thread on when you go in there, and then, you know, Prabhupada will show you how to chant on the Brahman thread. So I put it on, but when I came in the room, Prabhupada, he did like this with his hand. And I understood that meant, give me that Brahman thread. I give you the thread. You don't put it on coming here to me first. So I took the thread off. But then after he showed me how to chant, he took the thread. He had it wrapped around his knees. He took it like that, and he just went through it like that, and it just came right on me. It's just how the Brahman thread comes on. So I don't know how that worked, but somehow or another he threw it and just came on me like it's supposed to be worn. And so that was one exchange I had with him. I also was fanning him one time at a lecture on a Sunday feast in Toronto, Canada. And prior to that, when Prabhupada would sit on the Vyasasan and everyone would offer flowers and then he would throw them back during the kirtan. So there'd be all these flowers at Prabhupada's feet and he would pick them up and he'd throw them at the devotees as they were dancing. And everyone would go wild when he did that. But apparently in Toronto there, when he was throwing like that, his ring came off of his hand and it flew out into the crowd. And so I was in the crowd, and I stepped back, and I stepped on something. Oh, what's that? You know. So I looked down, and there was this ring. It was a gold ring, and it had Hare Krishna mantra carved around it like that. And so that was before the class. And so I was thinking, oh, this must belong to such and such Prabhu. So I was sitting in the class because I didn't want to miss the class. I'd give him the ring afterwards. So I was sitting in class, and I was playing with it. I was putting it on my finger and stuff. And, just playing around with it. And then afterwards, I was fanning him. And then Prabhupada got up and he left, and his secretary was looking around the Vyasa-san, and I knew what the secretary was looking for at that point. Oh, he said, Prabhupada lost his ring. I said, oh, I have it here. And so instead of like taking it, I'll give it to him. And going up and trying to give it to him myself, I gave it to the secretary, and he returned it to Prabhupada. But that's kind of a missed opportunity I had, you know. Okay, I should have gone knocking on Prabhupada's door. Prabhupada, I have your ring. But that wasn't the appropriate mood. I don't think that's the appropriate mood to put yourself, take every opportunity to put yourself in front of your spiritual master. But rather, as Prabhupada said himself, act in such a way that your spiritual master will want to see you. And so that's more the appropriate mood, I think. But that's something. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes. Microphone over here. Should we take this one? Should we take this one?
Thank you very much for a nice class, Prabhuji. I wanted to know that the first interaction you had with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave a comments on you that you don't be a boastful person. We also face lots of problems in our Krishna consciousness on that basis. So what did you do it by which you could subdue your pride and became humble in Krishna consciousness, by which you could get the taste of Krishna consciousness very nicely, and you could relish the nectar in a very, very serious Krishna conscious way?
Well, thank you for the question. The question was, that was also discussed this morning's class, how to do that, and Madhavananda. He was explaining very nicely that we can try in so many ways, you know, to try to be humble, but it's a matter of purification of the heart, really. It's a matter of purification of the heart. And to purify our heart, we have to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. We can't do it artificially. And I think we all have experience of trying almost in an artificial way to be humble and to act that way. That's good. We should act that rather than going around being boastful. I mean, that's not what we should be doing. But at the same time, to truly become humble and so that it doesn't come back. See, that's the problem. It's just like Ravana with his heads, you know. Ram was cutting them off one after another, but they were growing back, you know. And so that's just like the pride in our heart. We try to be humble in many ways and we act in ways, but they'll always come back. That head will grow back. That desire will grow back to get some distinction, honor, praise of others. What to speak if we actually become ostentatious, boastful, and start interacting with others like that. So we should try to restrain our senses in the process of sadhana bhakti. We should try to restrain this false pride from developing. But we also should know that only by purifying the heart of that anartha, by chanting the holy name, rendering service to the Vaishnavas, that's the way it will ultimately be cured. Rendering service to the Vaishnavas. And that's such a satisfying feeling. I'll give you another personal experience I had with trying to satisfy the Vaishnavas. Just on the plane coming here last night, or whenever it was, sometime within the last 24 hours or so, Ambarish Prabhu was on the plane with me. And he was going on to Mayapur. He went on to Mayapur this morning. But we were on the plane together. And I had some prasadam that I brought from my home. And I thought, well, I should give some prasadam to Ambarish. I should serve the Vaishnavas. We were on a plane. Prabhuji was also there on that plane. we were on the plane, and there were three Vaishnavas out of 300 people. And so what can you do in that circumstance? You can try to serve the Vaishnavas that are there. So I thought, let me give some prasadam to him. And that way try to serve the Vaishnavas. I didn't see you, Prabhu. I would have given you some too. But I gave him some prasadam, and I felt afterwards, okay, well, then that was a successful journey on that plane, because I was able to serve the Vaishnavas. And so serving Vaishnavas actually is a way that purifies our heart. And it makes it so that ugly head of pride will never arise again. Chanting the holy name in service of Vaishnavas, these things are so, so important. And therefore, I stress them in the talk today.
What I mean to ask you, Prabhuji, is sometimes, I don't know for others, but I could understand in my life, sometimes we spend lots of time in devotional life. As you said very clearly, the pride goes only when we follow the Krishna conscious principle very strictly and follow it, and gradually it goes away. But sometimes after spending some years in devotional life, we observe that the pride is increasing rather than going down. At that time we felt it, that something is going wrong, although I'm following Krishna conscious principles. At that circumstances, what a devotee should do it, because he doesn't have any other apparatus in his hand where he can subdue the pride. So what is the thing that we should do it at that juncture?
Yeah, well, actually, maybe the pride is not necessarily increasing, but what may be increasing is our perception of how ostentatious we actually are. We might not be thinking that we're proud, and we're thinking that I'm becoming less proud. But when we actually wake up to our fallen condition and see how proud we actually are, sometimes that's a waking, and it seems like pride may be increasing. But that's sort of a cleansing process, and we should understand that we go through it and try to be, as we're more aware of our pride, we should try to become more humble, try harder. But of course now, if our pride is actually increasing, then we're doing something wrong in a process of devotional service. And I think, again, I think it can be reflected in how we are interacting with the other devotees. If we seem to be becoming more proud or trying to lord it over other devotees rather than serve them, then we're going in the wrong direction, and we need to get some help. Of course, the Lord is also very expert in helping us become humble, because when we become proud, he puts us in circumstances where we fall flat on our face, and therefore we're forced to become humble. That's the mercy of the Lord. We shouldn't take it as anything else, although it's hard to accept when it happens to us. And so we need to examine our heart to see which one of those things is actually happening. Anything else? Anyone else? Well, differences between Kanista Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari, they're described by Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Upadeshamrita, Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada has given. So I'd advise you to read there. To read there. And in terms of practicing Krishna consciousness for 12 years and not feeling yourself advancing, well, this process takes some time and takes some endeavor. Don't be impatient. That's the first instruction from Upadeshamrita. You have to endeavor with confidence and patience. The acharyas have assured us that if you take to this process, it will lead to success. If we see our God brothers, our God sisters, and we see they're taking to the process and they're being successful, their anarthas are being removed and they're advancing in Krishna consciousness, then we can know the process works. And so we can take inspiration from that to apply ourselves more seriously to that with some patience. We have nothing else really to do in life. That's the goal of life. And the goal of life means that that goal includes all other possible goals in life. The example is given, if you have so many $10 problems, but if you get $100, that solves all of your $10 problems. So Krishna consciousness is the goal of life. And if we obtain that, then everything else becomes satisfied. We have to be confident of that and therefore fully engage ourselves in that. And the goal will be there. We will achieve the goal. We will achieve it. We just have to continue to endeavor. Okay, so we'll end there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.